Okay, we're learning about washing with hot water on Shabbos. The Gzeira, even if the water was heated before Shabbos, you can't wash your entire body with hot water on Shabbos. We discussed about going to the mikveh, why it's allowed. Even though, according to many opinions, even women are not allowed to go into a hot mikveh on Shabbos, but Lepel, in nowadays, they're more lenient about it than women do go into hot mikveh, men go into hot mikveh, and so on. Okay, now we learned washing parts of your body with water that was heated before Shabbos, so then you'd be allowed to, as long as you don't wash the whole body. We also discussed the issue with hair, you know, with hair, that because you might have schita, you're squeezing the water out of the hair, it could be an issue. Okay, now, even in a case where you're allowed to wash certain parts of the body, we learned you can't use a bar of soap, you can only use liquid soap. You have to be careful with squeezing. You can't use a sponge. You can't use a washcloth to wash yourself. You can't use any of those sponges, you know, that people wash themselves in whenever they wash parts of the body, because then you have the issue with schita. Now, washing with cold water seemingly shouldn't be an issue, seemingly. But Halacha says, you can't wash your entire body even in cold water. The last thing we were learning yesterday was about if you want to do what from the shower, cold water only for the case of the mikvah, Tisha Kabin, then you would be allowed. Okay, now, you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. Now, one of the reasons in the Gemara when it talks about going swimming, where it's forbidden to go swimming on Shabbos, and the Gemara says, because you might build a raft. In other words, speaking about swimming in a river, okay, so then people would, in the river, they would build rafts to be able to go with the current. So you're not allowed to swim in Shabbos, the Gemara says, because you might build a raft. So the question is, what? 8:08. Now, what happens with if you have a swimming pool? So you're not going to build a raft in a swimming pool. But the reason why that's not allowed anyway is, again, because washing your whole body is forbidden on Shabbos, especially because you might have schita. There's a lot of other, you might carry the towel. I mean, there's a lot of other issues. But people have to understand there's another issue. What happens if somebody, and they have this sometimes in the camps, they don't have to say, let's say you have a mikveh. So they use the lake, you know, the lake in the camp, they use it for a mikveh. So there's another din that people have to be aware of when you're traveling in an ocean or in a lake. Because the ocean or a lake has a din of a karmelis. A karmelis is in between public and private domains. You have a shusha rabim, you have a shusha yachid, and then you have a rabbinic rishus domain that's called a karmelis. Now, the din is, you're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to rishus hayachid. You're not allowed to carry from a karmelis to rishus harabim. And in a karmelis, you're only allowed to carry up to 4 amis, which is 6 feet. Not more. Okay? It's a rabbinic prohibition, but you're not allowed to carry in a karmelis more than 6 feet. So now let's say somebody wants to go travel in a lake. You're going to go into the water, and then you're going to come out of the water. So if you're talking, let's say you have a dock, and you jump straight into the water and straight out of the water, it's not so bad if the dock is not a rishus hayachid. But if, let's say, you're going to go out a little bit into the lake, and then you're going to get wet, and you're going to be carrying the water on you for 4 amis, which is 6 feet, that's rabbinically forbidden on Shabbos. So even if a guy wants to go swimming, or mikveh for that matter, they have to be very careful. Swimming you're not allowed to do anyway. But you have to be very careful that you shouldn't come to carry the water 6 feet.
Now what is the beach?
The beach you're not allowed to go ever. Even during the week.
Okay.
It's not only the reason of schita. I mentioned that. One of the reasons why you can't go swimming, period, is because it's schita and it's rechitzas kol gufe. You're washing even though it's cold water, it's still a problem.
You don't say that rechitzas kol gufe,
because it's a mitzvah. You know, many litvish shetaka will go to the mikveh Friday, Shabbos morning. They will not go to mikveh. because of the chash of rechitzas kol gufei. Okay, 1 second. Next is like this. In the Gemara, in the Mishnah, and those that say b'meh madlikin every week, before some people have a minig of doing it. So over there it says like this. The Mishnah says, you can't read le'erd haner, okay, to light of a candle. They have an oil candle, kerosene type of lamp like they used to have in the olden times. So it says in the Gemara, you're not allowed to read next to an oil lamp that you can make the flame bigger or smaller. Why? Gemara says, because you might come by mistake. You know, you're engrossed in reading or learning, whatever it is, and you might forget, and you might make the fire bigger. Which is, like we learned, the malach of havar, it's the malach of kindling the fire that we're just learning about now. So therefore, the din is, you're not allowed to read by an oil lamp that's applied not so much nowadays, but years ago, when they had kerosene lamps, you're not allowed to. The Gemara tells the story, and the Gemara says the reason is because of Gzeira Chachamim, that you might come to make the fire bigger. So Gemara tells the story that Rabbi Shmuel said, no, I'm going to be careful, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to read to the oil lamp. And the Gemara says two opinions. One is, he was about to make it bigger. One opinion actually says he did make it bigger, okay? Because he forgot it was Shabbos. And he said, another opinion says he didn't even do it. He just was about to do it, and he caught himself in time. And he said that he made a vow that when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, he'll bring a chat hashmeina, fat, juicy sin offering, that he didn't listen to the chachamim. So again, people, when the chachamim say you're not allowed to do something because something might happen from it, even if you're going to come along and say, to me it doesn't apply because I'm not going to be doing it, you're still not allowed to. Now, for instance, if there's two people reading at the lamp, okay, because then you're allowed to, two people together can read next to the oil lamp. Why? Because if one by mistake forgets, the other one will remind them. But an individual wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Why doesn't that apply to a dimmable
light? Okay, 1 second. We're going to come to that now. The pearl, obviously, it doesn't apply, number one, to a single-wicked candle. Because a single-wicked candle, you can't make bigger or smaller. I mean, it is what it is. There's no way you can make the fire bigger. It obviously doesn't apply for electric lights. You're allowed to read from an electric light. Even it says that even if it has a dimmer, you know, you can make the fire bigger or smaller. You're still allowed to because there's a steady light without being adjusted. But here, by an oil flame, the only flame you have is when you can make it bigger. Sometimes it starts going out. So the bottom line is that halachically you're allowed to read today next to an electric light. You know, even if there's a dimmer on it, we're not afraid that you're going to make a mistake and do it. But, for instance, what happens if there's a blackout and all you have is oil lamps, let's say before Shabbos, and you put them on, then you're not allowed to taka read. Unless if there's a person watching you or there's two people doing it together, so then we're not afraid that you're going to chas v'shalom come to do something forbidden. Okay, that basically finishes the malacha of kindling with a lot of the electrical things that we spoke about before.
Rabbi, can we tell you something?
What?
Can we tell you a new topic?
Yeah, just for you. Okay. Now, the next malacha is what's called Makeh B'Patish. Makeh B'Patish literally means strike with a hammer. Okay? What the Gemara means by that is, years ago, you have it interesting also, when you make over a key, I don't know if they always do it still, but years ago when you made over a key, so after they made the key, they sanded it down and then they gave a zest with the hammer on the key.
To forge it? Yeah.
I mean, the final. That's exactly what Makeh B'Patish is. So years ago, when they made something, a keli, out of metal, they would actually give a zetz with the hammer, you know, hit it with the hammer, and that would be what's called the final blow. So therefore, the melacha of Makeh B'Patish is not only a final hammer blow. Patish is a hammer. Makeh B'Patish doesn't mean anything that you do that finishes the object that you're making, and you fix it, that now it's usable, and before it wasn't so usable, is the melacha makor b'patish. Okay? For instance, over here he says like this, if one, what the Gemara talks about, if one makes a neck opening in a garment on Shabbos, okay, all he did was basically make a hole. What did he do? But that's called makor b'patish. It's biblically forbidden because he now made the garment usable. Now you can wear it. You can put it over your head. You can, like a poncho or a blanket or whatever it is. So therefore, I'll give another example which is even more practical today. If you have a brand new pair of shoes, okay, and on Shabbos you put in the shoelaces into the shoe, even though what you're doing is extremely minor, you're not seemingly doing anything wrong, you're just putting in shoelaces. But the fact that the shoes cannot be worn without the laces, and now you're putting in the laces, that's called makor b'patish.
The finishing touch.
The finishing touch of anything.
And
it could be a minor, it could be a relatively minor thing. The fact that you're completing the article with it is makor b'patish.
And if it's not brand new shoes?
If it already had laces, then you could re-put laces in them. Let's say you on Shabbos your shoelace tore. Okay, so you're allowed to put in shoelaces again because it was a shoe before you put in the lace, before you're fixing it now, because there are laces already in the shoe. So you're not making it into a usable shoe now. It was always a usable shoe. But now if it's a brand new pair of shoes, then you wouldn't be allowed to. You can't put on a new shoe if there's no shoelaces in. Unless obviously you don't have laces, then it's not a problem.
If it's still usable without laces, you're fine, right?
Yeah, but a new pair of shoes is not usable without laces. What?
If you take a bottle, you know how to have the cap that's attached to the circle that goes around and at the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. It's according to certain opinions, it is part of the melacha makor b'patish because now you're making a keli out of the cover. But we hold that even though there's a rim at like mashka bottles or even some soda bottles, as long as there's no letters. If there's letters, then you're cutting letters. No, I'm saying, let's say you have a bottle.
You should be able to open the can in that case,
it's
the same thing.
No, that's a separate issue. I'm not saying you're not allowed to. There's a lot of people, you can open cans on Shabbos. We're machmir, we don't, but halachically many people open cans. But many poskim hold that let's say you have a bottle of soda that when you turn open the cap, it leaves a ring at the bottom. So a lot of opinions say you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. We hold you're allowed to do this in Shabbos. Why do we hold you're allowed to do it on Shabbos? Because the Rebbe used to do it. But in Fabrengens, when people used to bring mashke to the Rebbe, long time ago before the Rebbe stopped it, after the third sicha, they would bring mashke to Rebbe, bar mitzvah, wedding, whatever it was, and the Rebbe would open, you know. So a lot of times, guys didn't open the bottle before Shabbos. And a lot of times, the bottle was opened in a way that left the ring at the bottom, but the Rebbe still opened it, because the Rebbe held you're allowed to.
No.
A mitzvah doesn't allow you to desecrate Shabbos.
Why is the ring not allowed on Shabbos? Makor b'patish?
They hold you making a keli out of the cap. Now the cap is able to be put something into it. And before you couldn't.
And the soda is drinkable.
Huh?
And the soda is drinkable.
Yeah, but over there's a shalah, you're making an opening. By the cans, by the flip tops.
So anything before makor b'patish is not a keli. After makor b'patish, it becomes a keli.
Well, we're going to learn all the details. There's a lot of details in this melacha. It's getting late already. But makor b'patish should be basically fixing anything that's broken also. If something, I'm not telling you, there's a lot of details. If something bends out of shape, and you bend it back, and now it's usable, and before it wasn't, that's a melacha makor b'patish.
It's not boiling?
No, because there's no bainah by kelim like that.
Masks.
Huh?
These masks are pliable.
No, that's the normal way of using it.
If the door handle is bent,
and you fix it, that's makabe patis. But now, there's a lot of interesting dinamism. Okay.